Yo, what is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Across the Pitch with myself, Dave Miller, and to my right on the screen, which is my left for some reason, Jose Nunez. Jose, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Dave? I hope everything's going well for you. And my gosh, you know, when we were getting together via Twitter to figure out what we were going to talk about, we didn't expect to have this many good things to talk about, good news to share, and maybe something to lament a little bit about. So we'll see. Excited to chat with you and Mike joining us soon, right?
Yeah, hopefully Mike will be in soon. I mean, I think he's just got a couple of loose ends and things to tie up before he comes on. You know, Mike's a very, very busy man. He's just put in our chat here. He'll be there soon. But yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, again, we were trying to find things to look for to speak about with the show. And of course, a lot has happened over the last few hours that has allowed us to, actually be able to discuss things. But before we go into that, obviously, last week, the tragic news of Anton Walkes passing, the Charlotte FC defender, passed suddenly during the week. And again, we'd like to, as a podcast, we'd like to send our condolences and our best wishes to his family, the team, and all his friends. Because it's horrendous to see, to lose anyone. But and again, all of a sudden, just to lose somebody suddenly is just horrific. And hopefully, you know, we send our best wishes to his family and everyone close to him.
Yeah, no, it's really unfortunate news, right? I remember sending the news to you and Mike over Twitter and just sort of gutted, right? Very disappointing, and it is what it is. And I feel for the folks out there in the Carolinas who are going to be missing him and everything he contributed to the team, and certainly to the folks over at the Mid-City Collective, who I think were big fans of him, and my understanding, just a great overall person. So it's going to be a weird year. I think this is a weird way to go into preseason. I can't imagine where that team is mentally after something like this, but they are professionals and they'll figure it out. But for now, we just think of him and think of his family.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, it's just so out of the blue. And I mean, of course, Anton Walkes, an English defender as well. He, you know, played for Portsmouth in England. And it's just a very, very horrific situation. And again, the thing that you said, I was like, no one was anticipating something like this. It's a weird way to, you know, go into the preseason. And again, hopefully, you know, wish Charlotte all the best. I mean, it's going to be a difficult year for them, you know, having such a horrific incident kick off. And I mean, hopefully they could use that as a momentum to dedicate this season to him, and perhaps they can make a playoff push. And, you know, maybe they can, that could be something that they can use to, you know, push them forward and do it in his memory, which would be really nice to see. But I mean, yeah, it's just, I don't think you can really, there are no real words you can really sum anything up or make anything, you know, sound better with something like this. It's just a horrific accident. And again, we send our best wishes on to his family, friends, Charlotte FC, and everyone associated with the franchise and the team. And again, but obviously going into the show now, obviously it's been, I mean, from Monday to, I'd say about 2 p.m., 3 p.m. Eastern. It was a pretty slow week, really. We didn't really have much. We were just discussing again last week that you needed to make signings. Nothing was really happening on that transfer front. And within the space of about an hour, 45 minutes, maybe, I mean, we had two big pieces of news from, Tom Bogert, in regards to Matt Fries, who will get onto him in a minute, I think. And Joaquin Torres, who's reportedly from Tom Bogert, joining the union from CF Montreal, an attacking option, again, who can play in the 10, he can play as a second striker, he can play in attacking roles. So again, the union are bolstering their attacking line, but again, Matt Fries seems to be leaving the franchise to join NYCFC. I think probably appropriate that we start there, because, you know, Matt's been with the team for many years now. It's no fault of his own. He seems a very solid goalkeeper, but when you've got the best keeper in the MLS, or you could argue MLS history, in between the sticks, you're never really going to solidify yourself as a starter. And he's found starts hard to come by over the last few years. And I think there is no, I don't see why you'd be aggrieved or frustrated seeing Matt Fries leave. I mean, it seems that he's going to go playing for a top team in NYCFC and actually start for them. So, I mean, it's probably the best of both worlds for both teams, really.
Yeah, you have to be happy for Matt, right? He has certainly done what he could. I still remember his performance in the COVID game against NYCFC and him just kind of helping keep it all together, right? A tough error by Mbaizo that led to the goal and ultimately our demise there. But it was, I think, somewhat expected, right? The Union just did a rare draft pick of a goalkeeper. Yeah. Matt, I'm sure, frustrated with the playing time. You have Bendik ahead of him or maybe sharing time with him, drafted a new goalkeeper. And let's face it, no one anytime soon is dethroning the brick wall that is Andre Blake. So a very tough situation for him to break through. And the opportunities that he had sort of ceased as soon as the Union fell off of the U.S. Open Cup. So very tough situation for him, and you can't be anything but happy for him. Right. Though I will be sad. I know you are in Europe, Dave, but I will be missing the very random commercials that he signed up for. It's comical in a way, right? He's a Harvard grad with a degree in economics, but he was having a random squirrel teach him how to do banking at a credit union. So just a really interesting approach to marketing on his end. But jokes aside, really happy for him. I think, again, another punch in the balls when it comes to who he's going to with NYCFC, especially after Burke left for New York Red Bulls. So wish him the best. You know, hopefully he finds himself in a starting spot. I think it'll be tough over there too. I think that team wants to continue to improve and win. So we'll see. Hopefully he cuts it and gets himself that starting spot that he's seeking. I think Mike is about to join us here.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, yes. Sorry, everybody. Some last-minute dad duties over here. So I'll just jump right into here with my point in that freeze. I mean, it was weird because we saw Bendik get re-signed. We were like, okay, you know, there's a lot of competitions this year. It's fine, some extra bodies. And you see the Union draft the goalkeeper. You're like, okay, what the hell's going on with Matt Freese? I don't know how long this plan was in the works. Maybe he had already voiced his displeasure or opinion to the upper management previously, and this has just kind of been in the works for a while. Whatever it is, I mean, listen, I know people don't want to see our players go to their rivals, especially because now we'll be seeing him a handful of times a year. But like I said, like you guys already reiterated, happy for Freese, and you know, we'll just move on to the next real big acquisition we have here, or the roster change, which is Torres. As I know both of you guys have mentioned already, he's pretty interesting. I know we'll kind of discuss that further down the show plan, but a lot happened today within a very short span of time. So we were like, hurry, we got to get recording tonight to make sure we can kind of go into it. Dave, I'll shoot it back to you. Any other thoughts on the roster changes from today?
I mean, of course, Matt Freese. I'm just going back to the Matt Freese thing. It does seem sort of like he is primed to be going to start for NYCFC, especially with Sean Johnson seemingly going to Toronto. So again, that all sort of makes sense. And again, I think we were all sat here bewildered in the group chat, in our group chat, sort of saying, like, Union actually drafted a player. I mean, and of course, Danny, a goalkeeper, and we were sort of wondering why they were doing that. This perhaps makes some sense. Maybe this was something that has been in the works for a while.
Yep.
We haven't really got any
monetary,
draft.
Right? Yeah. Do we have any monetary news that came out of that or no? Did you guys hear that yet?
No, I haven't seen anything. So I guess we haven't heard anything in regards to, you know, any trade details or transfer details for either for Torres or Freese. But I'm guessing that with one guy going out, it then facilitates another player coming in. That might be the deal. Again, I was going to say, moving on to Joaquin Torres again, who... Mm-hmm. Jim Curtin sat in his press conference 2 weeks ago and said, we need another good attacking option.
Yep.
Union seemingly have their man now with Joaquin Torres, who weirdly, he's a player that has only just really come into the MLS. I mean, he's been there for a couple of years now, I believe, joined Montreal on loan last season, 2 years ago, and now is there, then was signed permanently, but has, I mean, clearly isn't a player that Montreal were keen to keep a hold of, which would be interesting to see how he does cope with Union. But now the Union seemingly have their four attacking options. And I think you said in the group chat as well, Mike, the Chris Donovan isn't really a viable fourth option striker in this league if you want to be competing for the CCL, US Open Cup, and for the MLS. If you want to be on fighting on all fronts, you need better quality in attack and better quality players going forward. So, I mean, again, obviously they've got a lot of confidence in Quinn Sullivan. But again, I don't think that's going to knock Quinn out. Your Quintana's coming in. I think it's another option, another sort of player that they can utilise depending on the game. And again, I think Quinn's versatility won't hurt him either. I think, again, that was perhaps something that hurt Paxton last year, where he was very limited to being only able to play through the middle, whereas Quinn can play out wide, a bit deeper maybe if he needs to. He can play an attack up front as a striker. He can play as a 10. So I don't think it'll impact Quinn too much.
Well, I guess I'll just kind of use that to segue with, I know Jose and I have been trying to talk about the preseason game this week too, after just passed against Austin. You know, you lose Paxton Aaronson, which was basically, you know, Gosdog's backup, and you kind of have a huge uncertainty then at the 10, really. I know, you know, we had brought Prey in, which we didn't talk about at all last week. Our apologies there. We kind of realized after we recorded, like, we forgot all about him. But Torres would be that replacement. And you also know that because of his versatility, you don't have to put so much stock into basically a crapshoot with what Quinn Sullivan and Chris Donovan will be at the striker position, because at least you knew what you were going to get with Corey Burke, right? You really don't know what you're going to get with Sullivan at the striker, and you obviously still can't trust Donovan yet full time. So at least it gives you a fifth option to rotate in, to be a little experimental with some more certainty. And I know from the press conference that Jim had last week, as well as what we saw at the preseason game. And if you guys missed the preseason game, it was a 3-2 victory over Austin. Alejandro Bedoya, Jesus Bueno, and Chris Donovan had goals. You know, Jim emphasized putting Quinn up top to see him get closer to goal, to see what he could do. He did contribute to the Bueno goal. He kind of shot the first ball, which ricocheted to Bueno. So you got to see some of what you're expecting in come regular season, but you know, with a preseason game again, you know, lined up tomorrow, are you going to see more of Quinn up top? Are you going to see him more in the midfield, that kind of stuff? So, I mean, Jose, what are your thoughts on Torres, where he fits in the lineup, and now where we see this very crowded midfield forming?
You know, it's interesting. I think Joaquin Torres is an awesome addition, and I think it's only great for us that we benefit from the Montreal fire sale, right? They lose their coach, and there's a bit of an exodus out there, and they're just willing to let just about anybody go. So I'm really intrigued. I know as of right now, it stands as a rumor and speculation coming from Tom, but I'm sure we'll see a formal announcement or a press release sooner rather than later, and maybe details about what was exchanged for his services. But to the Paxton point, I think that's really just the wash. If not, we're gaining someone with a lot more experience. Paxton was averaging 18 minutes per game in the 23 appearances that he had last year. So I don't know that I would put a whole lot of weight outside of him, again, getting a contract based on his international under 20 appearances, not so much on his time on the pitch for the MLS. So getting someone with this level of experience who's been around the block for a few years with Montreal and getting game time. I haven't looked into his stats too deeply, but it's not hard to average out more than 18 minutes per game in this league if you are, you know, an older player. I'm intrigued onto where he fits in the roster, right? What type of spot is he going to take when you think about the different rules and regulations that the MLS has in building rosters? So excited. He seems like a skilled player. I get vibes of him sort of not necessarily getting anywhere close to Ilsinho, but certainly has some moves out there that he wants to dance and get people to pivot the wrong way. So just, it feels odd that we're getting players that have experience and not just, you know, it's when I saw another in-league, league trade with us involved, I thought to myself, 2 in 1 year, that's weird. It's really, really odd, you know? Perea and now Torres, that's just too, it almost feels like too many. It feels dirty.
I was going to say, it sort of leads me into one of the 3 points I was just thinking of. One, of course, I mean, it's weird, isn't it, to see the Union signing players from actually in the MLS. I mean, I think last year they signed Julio and Carranza, and that was really it. I mean, we usually see the Union go out and get players from Europe and, you know, South America. I mean, again, Jesus Bueno, Mr. Davo.
Davo, I don't know. I'm not sure if I remember that guy. Who was
that? Sexy Football, Ulrich, Gazdag, Leon Flack. I mean, again, Stuart Finlay. I mean, these are all players that the Union have brought in the last couple of years from mainland Europe, and now they've gone for perhaps the more MLS route with Andres Pereira and Joaquin Torres, which perhaps gives the indication of, you know, they've gone out and got these great additions that, you know, these players from other leagues and from different continents that are great players but have had to adjust to the MLS, and it's taken them time. Perhaps now they're looking at the faster approach where, okay, we now need the players. We now need players who can actually, acclimatize this league and can make an instant impact, especially with us fighting on so many fronts, which is what Joaquin Torres can do. He's got a couple of years' experience, and Andres Pereira. And to move on to your point, Jose, I was going to say, it appears he can also play as a winger as well, which is also what Quinn can do. And it sort of feels like, are we finally seeing the Union actually preparing to have a plan B, as opposed to if the diamond doesn't work, we'll just change strikers? Are the Union finally going to, you know, play a 4-2-3-1, a 4-4-2, a 4-3-3? Do you know what I mean? We're going to finally see the Union try and actually change things up and diversify the way we play, which, again, if the Union do become a bit more flexible the way they play this season, that then gives players, as we keep saying, like, we're struggling to see where Quinn Sullivan can actually fit into this roster or into the starting 11. With being more diverse and being more fluid with the way they play, you can see Quinn playing out wide in the 4-3-3. You can see Quinn playing in a 4-2-3-1 as a winger again. You can play as a 10. I mean, again, I think this is an exciting move with a player with MLS experience.
And, you know, just to add some more points to Joaquin, and maybe not to build him up or overhype him, but when you think about, you know, the exchange here, Paxton leaving, and you have Torres coming in. Last year, Torres, I don't know what the injury situation was, perhaps, but he played a total of 27 matches, started 15, and averaged about 48 minutes per game. But backtrack to 2021, 28 matches played, 22 started, 1,800 minutes played, almost 1,900 minutes played. So we're talking about somebody who trounces a Paxton Aaronson in that of experience. And that is not a hit against Paxton. I know he is... No. Always been a fan favorite. He's one of our own. We will forever follow his career, much like we're doing with his brother out in Leeds. But just to, again, illustrate just how different the approach feels this year with getting Perea in and then getting a Torres in, just has a different feel to it. And Dave and Mike, may I say, it almost feels like we're building to be solid all throughout the season. And like you're saying, Dave, we're not just going to be throwing the kids and hoping that something will happen, like a Quinn Sullivan bicycle kick against Chicago, right? Like, we're not going to be waiting for the amazing to happen, but maybe have something tried and true that will just work.
Yeah. Well, so Eric's point, you know, all aboard the hype train, right? It's just everybody's so excited for this Union team. But as I mentioned last week a bit, you know, it's everything Union had always been kind of building to the future, right? And it never had really felt like the present. It was kind of always like, let's bring these guys in from across the seas. Let's just let them develop. Oh, you know, Daniel's been here for only a half a season. Let's let him develop. Uwa's been. It's always been kind of this work in progress for the Union. And people, I saw somebody post on Facebook, was like, well, why don't we just keep going to the Europe or South America? Why don't we just keep doing what we've been doing to add depth? But the problem is, as we've seen, as Dave already mentioned, you know, the transition of players into the league and getting used to the travel and all that stuff, you don't have that anymore with Torres and Pereira. They are automatically used to the league. They're familiar with the Union, so they understand their structure, the way they play. They've played against them. They've seen their play. You assume that they kind of pick it up faster than somebody like Daniel did right off the bat. But when we look at the preseason game, and I mentioned this on Twitter at the second half of that, the lineup that you saw in that game in the second half was more so what you'll probably expect come Open Cup, League Cup reserves, that kind of stuff. So if you guys didn't see, I know Pereira was on the left, Flock was in the six. You had McGlynn on the right, I believe, if I remember correctly, and you had Raffanello in the 10. You had Quinn, and you had Donovan on top.
Brandon Craig,
yes, thank you. So and Sorensen actually made an appearance as well. So what you now do is you realize that Torres would replace Raffanello in that particular situation right there. But yeah. I did not expect Perea to be on the left. And that was a bit intriguing because we all know Leon Fox limited offensively.
Yeah.
And we also know that Jose Martinez does occasionally find himself in trouble. And you've always had the thing in the back of your mind, well, what happens if Jose is removed from a game for suspension? What if, whatever it might be, who plays a six and how do we make up for the lack of defense on the left? Does Perea then add that extra bit of versatility on the left-hand side? I was excited to see him left. I want to see him left more often in the preseason to kind of just get a feel for what he can do out there. But these acquisitions very much feel 2018 Eagles Super Bowl-esque, or even this year. You're adding veteran players onto your roster to build a championship team. And as I mentioned in my Twitter poll, which actually closed, I think, today, I got to check it out. What defines success this year? You have six trophies you want to play for, if you include the Eastern Conference final, right? Many people on that Twitter board said you have to at least win one trophy this year. 100%. One. You cannot leave this season empty-handed. For me personally, MLS Cup is fine. I will lose the other ones. As long as we get the MLS Cup, is fine. But if you can at least snag the CCL or you win the League Cup, whatever, you have to win one. And you're not going to win one Monday morning today. Now with Torres being brought into the mix and obviously Perea had it ready, now you feel like you can actually legitimately win one of these trophies because of the added depth you have. I mean, Dave, I'll send it back to you to talk about that.
I think, again, you sort of said, I think for this season you have to win a trophy. I think you've gone 2 years now without coming so close. So far, really, I feel like, again, like this team has been primed. This team is primed to win now. I think you can see in the moves that they've made this offseason already and the players that they're bringing in. But I think as well, I think you need to utilize the players that you've got. You need to better utilize the players you've got. Jim needs to not be afraid to, make changes to a starting 11, make sure the players don't run themselves into the ground and don't risk injury for certain players. I think, again, only Bedoya, it really feels like Bedoya is here this year to use his leadership and experience, especially for that CCR run. I think, again, it's also Perea, again, it offers some more versatility in the way that you can adjust your midfield. I mean, if you want to start Perea, you can move Leon Flat to six. You can play Bedoya or Hez Bueno on the right.
Dave, I'll send it back to you in a second. Even Jose Martinez on the right, which you have talked about last year. So I'll send it back to you right there, Dave.
Again, it just offers more versatility the way that you want to play, really. I mean, again, Jim can't be afraid or can't be stubborn with his lineups. He can't sit there week on week and, naming the same starting 11 for five games in a row with, league game, continental match, league game, continental match. Which we're going to see at some point in this season. We're going to see a run where the union probably have four CCL games in the space of two months. And you're going to have to, I mean, again, I think there was one point last year as well when we had that CCL run where there was international games and sort of mixed in there as well. And it's sort of like, again, I think as Jose mentioned earlier beforehand, we really saw the approach was, okay, we can't play our starting 11. Fuck it. Chuck the kids out there and sink or swim, really. Now it's sort of like it seems more calculated. You've got players that you can trust in the MLS to actually go out there in the MLS and play. So again, you won't be chucking young guys like, Sorensen, Raffanello, even a guy like Richard Adada, who's going to take time. I think that's another player who I feel like is going to be like a new signing this year because he's actually going to have a full preseason. He's actually going to have the opportunity to try and make a stake for claim. This is probably the most depth this union midfield has had possibly ever. I think again, you're losing Paxton Aronson. This has just got so much depth and so much quality. I mean, if they can get Hezes Bueno going, again, that's a player that we signed thinking that was going with high expectations. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen much, but then get Hezes Bueno going, if Perea can make an impact, we can see this team, really go for it in all competitions. I mean, this is...
Yep.
There's no debt. I mean, as Eric said, there's no tomorrow. It's do or die. I mean, there's no tomorrow. You have to go. They're going to have to go for it. But I mean, again, it's an exciting time actually seeing roster moves being made. And hey, I mean, the last time they signed an Argentinian attacking player from another MLS team, it didn't ends too badly, does it?
Jose, that's your boy right there. And he, so I mean, do you think, you know, Jose, the one cup is doable tonight, this year? I mean, how do you feel? Like, do you think that is the level of success this season? At least one trophy being brought home, a significant trophy, not just a Supporters Shield Open Cup, like one of the more significant trophies.
Yeah, I think in a weird way, I think a U.S. Open Cup would be it's been an enigma for us, right? How many finals we've gone to and unfortunately not captured. So that would be a funny one, almost like a iconic one to finally have in our trophy case. In my opinion, I think, and I can't recall who said it on Twitter, but you know, there's only one trophy out there that puts a star over your crest.
That's right.
And I would absolutely love to have one star over that crest, and frankly could have been two. So, you know, as good as we feel today, it's 9 p.m. We could feel not so great come 8 days, right? There's 8 days that this whole thing could really go downhill, with the transfer deadline being January 31st, and all it takes is Kai Wagner to leave.
I think in England, where there's a lot of interest, I think it's February 3rd.
Oh, okay. So maybe it's changing. Regardless, the high that we're experiencing right now can drop really, really quickly if a Kai Wagner gets the right offer in the Philadelphia Union bite.
Can I then add then, Jose? So we talked about Brendan Craig last week on the show.
Sure.
So in his preseason performance, he has a brilliant ball, long ball to Donovan, which is what we've seen Elliott do and has improved on. We've seen, obviously, Glesnes' offensive ability. If Brendan Craig is going to be a staple in the back line in some form in the competitions, he needs to be able to produce offensively as well and contribute the same, at least in a similar manner as the other two have done. Let's say Kai Wagner leaves. Jim, as I said last week, has flirted with the idea of three in the back. Is this addition of Torres then give you more hope in the midfield to be more dynamic in the change of formation, as Dave has been calling for probably the last 2 years, where you could see three in the back and then maybe just some sort of, you know, winger action in the middle? What do you think there, Jose?
You like to think so, but that also means that Jim would have to break away from his standard issued formation, a game in and game out, right? And be willing to throw it all out there and go for it. But yeah, I would agree. Listen, I am thrilled with the additions, but I'm also really scared of what, you know, can come in the next couple of days or 2 weeks or whatever, with the different markets closing at different time. England's one. I think Germany has a different timeline as well. And then never mind Turkey and some of those other teams out there, countries out there that having even more extended transfer periods. So I think we got to enjoy the high. We continue to enjoy what we're looking at right now as we prepare for February 25th and certainly the preseason matches or whatever, which I personally am not putting a lot of stock on, but just, you know, following cautiously to see what we try. But it's exciting, really, really exciting. And again, it finally feels like that next step of bringing in tried and true players rather than, again, just letting the kids out there with a mix of potential players that didn't pan out, like a Stuart Findlay or a Bueno, to hope that they can produce some magic. But to that point, you know, it's really interesting that we have all of these changes, and Tom reported as well on the allocation process changing. Any idea what that is, or are you too up to date with what that is? I sort of have followed it along for a little bit, as I've been so intrigued with all the rules and permutations that this league has.
I feel like you are the person to ask here, because I'm not as familiar with it. I know Dave has mentioned as well. So please, Jose, take the floor on what you know from following, because I'm not really familiar with it.
So it's weird to use the word abolishment, right? But getting rid of this rule is really interesting, as it is really a mechanism to allow teams to have a pecking order onto who gets to choose who comes back or who is now becoming part of the MLS. Because you got to remember, when people sign for MLS teams, they're not signing for teams specifically, but rather a contract with the Major League Soccer and then placed in specific teams. So that's one thing to remember. So really what it does, and the most important piece to me is, and sure, it consists of U.S. men national team players, U.S. youth players, and this is the most important point to me, is former MLS players who have left the league for over $500,000 or more in transfer dollars. So what this allocation ranking was doing was really saying who gets. So there's obviously the 30 some teams at this point, or 28 teams. It would say number one, Cincinnati, number two, Dallas, number three, Chicago. So when any of those players who fit into those categories would want to come back to the United States to play, they would have to go through that order to see if they were interested in contracting them. So getting rid of this whole thing to me is just freedom, right? Fewer rules for these players to engage in. So if you're a Christian Pulisic, for example, just throwing it out there, wants to come back to the United States to play in the MLS, he'd have to beg, if he wanted to play for Philadelphia, to not have 20 some odd teams ahead of them, you know?
So essentially, the allocation process was essentially the MLS exists, was the MLS's version of the waiver wire.
More or less, yeah.
That's a good way to put it. Yep.
You have 20 other teams who would get to say yes or no, whether they wanted that player or not. And of course, you're not going to pick up a player that doesn't want to play for you. But ultimately, it was just jockeying back and forth onto who wants to get who. So I'm intrigued onto how you guys feel about this change. To me, I think it's another step to moving away from MLS 1.1 or MLS 2.0, where you needed all of this help for all of these teams to continue to keep the playing field level, per se.
Well, I guess I'm going to actually mention that. So I believe Tanner had mentioned, was it in one of the interviews this past couple weeks, how the MLS will be one of the most more elite leagues in the world in X amount of years. Do you feel like, I mean, from both of you guys, from watching more international soccer than I do, do you feel like this is a step in that process of making the MLS more of a established worldwide league?
Dave, I'll throw it over to you. What do you think?
I guess it probably makes it more of a, I wouldn't say it perhaps would make it, I don't know, it's a hard question to answer, I think, because, I mean, again, you don't have this sort of waiver wire allocation process anywhere else in the world. Right. It's literally league specific to the MLS. It was league specific to the MLS. I think that will perhaps help it a bit. I mean, that might help the league a bit, perhaps. You don't really see many players, once they leave the MLS, really come back. And I think that's possibly, could possibly be a reason why. So it could perhaps, you know, have a good impact in terms of having more established US players coming back. But I can't see it really having an impact on, you know, it rising up in general. I think it's going to take a few more years for it to, you know, bridge the gap.
Like a long-term play here for the league. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Well, listen, I mean, we've been seeing more recently, more attention in the league, obviously more established players coming to play in the MLS. So it's certainly, it's on the up and up, but we still have a ways to go, of course, before we start getting the credibility of leagues across the entire globe here. But in terms of just the union itself, you know, we have the preseason game tomorrow. I believe, Jose, it was at 4 p.m., right?
I believe so, yeah.
Against St. Louis.
Yeah, finally a decent time for those that work.
Yeah, I know, seriously. So I have to verify online whether it's going to be streamed. I probably assume it won't be. It'll probably be a live blog again. The good thing is the union have been posting videos over the goals, about the goals. I've been pretty active with the live blog, so I'm excited to see what they share and what they post. The video quality was pretty good, so it seems like they have good camera work down there, just not streaming the game for whatever reason. So we'll be sure to share anything we find from that game. Anything, I know it's preseason, I know it's not that big a deal, but is there anything in particular that you guys are looking for tomorrow in terms of a player you want to see in a certain position? Anything like that that you think might be of interest? Jose, I'll shoot it to you.
I'm intrigued to see what the back four looks like, right? I'd be really interested to see what he mixes, he being Jim, what he mixes that back line to look like. I'm just always fascinated because last year it was just about the exact same four all season, right? Maybe plus or minus one player being between Harriel and Mbiza, right? It was a toss-up for a while, and then ultimately Mbiza went ahead and captured the job. But just really intrigued if we're going to start playing around with what that back four looks like after having a stonewall defense all year.
Right. Dave, same question to you. Any player that you want to see more of tomorrow, or at least just some, you know, different positioning?
I think Hayes Bueno again. I think
he's
a player that we've literally seen not much of, despite, you know, hearing so many good things about him when he first joined. And, you know, he didn't really play much again. I think he signed at the same time as Darvid, didn't he, on loan?
Yeah, same time.
Ernest only took up his permanent offer. So clearly they saw something there, but they haven't really given him that opportunity to show on the field yet. So I'm hoping that he can use this preseason to really, you know, take a step in the right direction and really be pushing for that place on the right-hand side where Bedoya plays, or from the back four, whatever. I think from the sounds of it, Bueno was a player that can do the box-to-box stuff that Bedoya does, but he can also do sit in front of the back four and sort of play a bit like Jose Martin. And so, again, hopefully he is a player that we get to see very, very soon in the future. But, I mean, the Union do have a weird record with these sort of things, of signing players that get people hyped up and then never using them, never playing them. I mean, we've seen it in recent years with Orovic and Orovic and Darvo specifically. Right. So, I mean, hopefully.
Well, I mean, I guess to the previous point, you know, having these players be MLS with MLS experience would eliminate that. You're hoping maybe Tanner says, you know, there's enough of these players that just aren't seeing the playing field. You know, maybe we should think of something different, think outside the box, to go a different route. So hopefully this is their way of adjusting. As good as Union have become and have been and will be this year, you know, they're clearly not winning at all yet. And yeah, if you look at the way LAFC was built compared to us, you'd argue that maybe this is the step in the right direction. But, I mean, I think we've mentioned it earlier, but I do want to see Jose Martinez on the right side. I wouldn't mind seeing some sort of weird formation like that where he plays on the right a bit. Because I know when he went to his national team call-up and was playing on the right-hand side, Curtin said, hey, yeah, listen, you know, they use him pretty well out there. Okay, well, let's see it then for us. Let's give it a shot, you know, because if there are times, if Wagner leaves and you do have to get creative, or – You know, Leon's playing really well, the six, and Perez is playing pretty well. Well, you don't want Martinez to not have playing time. Why not get creative and put him in Bedoya's spot? So at some point this preseason, whether it's tomorrow or another time, I'd like to see it. Let's give it a shot. What's the worst that could happen when you're doing preseason, right? Besides that, I'd like to see more of Odata. I know last year when he played in that international friendly, people were like, whoa, he actually – looks pretty solid. So I would like to see some more time from him just to see what he can do out there. And then as well as Raffanello. Yeah. I think Raffanello is one of those kids that we brought on that we were kind of excited about to see. He's another, you know, what if of the future, because if Donovan and all these players don't pan out, he's one of the next players to step up and make that impact. Yeah. So again, preseason isn't more than just kind of toying around with rosters and whatnot. Yeah. But I was going to say,
I feel like as well, I mean, as you sort of said, I mean, we only really saw Richard Adada in that international friendly, that really weirdly positioned international friendly that in between, like, the end, I mean, you know, the final push towards the end of the season. Same for, do you know what I mean? So, I mean, again, I feel like this League's Cup is, I mean, again, we sort of, when we looked at the, what's it called? When we sort of looked at that, the pecking order in terms of the competitions last year, it sort of was, of course, the MLS, you're going to go 110%. In fact, even 2 years ago, when we were in the CCL, it was MLS and CCL pretty much level with each other. We're going to go 110%. But if we had to put one above the other, it would be the CCL, then the MLS. And then the US Open Cup was sort of a few pegs down in terms of, okay, US Open Cup, we're going to make 10, 11 changes. And we're going to literally just chuck whoever out there and give kids experience. I feel like this League's Cup is going to be that this year. I feel like that could be the competition where, you know, we do see Brandon Craig play. If the Union go deep, it could be the Brandon Craig, the Bueno, the Adada, their sort of competition to shine.
No, I agree. Jose, I'll shoot you for a question. I also want to post this thing, this comment that got sent up. I'll post that really quick from the one team we agree on. I know they're a fellow podcast, so I appreciate you guys chiming in. Again, another Chuchu fan, another Bueno fan. I feel like there's a lot of Bueno fans out there.
And that's the craziest thing.
There are a lot of Bueno fans, which is, it's not that I say anything badly about Bueno. I just don't know what he's about. And it's funny that he's, appreciate you chiming in that he mentions that. And I know Kyle Wood is a big Bueno fan. But I think to the point we've kind of been bringing up already, these players kind of take time to, you know, acclimate themselves to the MLS. this is about the time that you'd expect him to fully turn it on, if he were to fully turn it on. So maybe all this Bueno hype from everybody is finally going to come to, you know, come to a head here. But Jose, I'll shoot it back to you for your question.
You know, Dave, you brought a great point. Is this league past scheduling random international friendlies nowadays? Like, is this league past that infancy stage? Because I remember, gosh, we've had so many random international friendlies in the middle of the season leading into All-Star break.
Yeah.
Or during All-Star break. I can't remember exactly what the timing is, but are we past that as a league now? It feels like it, right? Is the League's Cup really the, all these separate teams were making money, let's all get together and do something in the middle of it all, yeah, and everybody wins? I don't know. I'm really interested to feel about that.
I was going to say, it really feels like the Nations League with Europe in terms of, no one really cares about these friendlies, or no one wants to watch these friendlies. Ah, fuck it, let's make more money and make it a glorified competition. It really feels like it's sort of that thing. But again, I guess it's another way for this team to, you know, really, see what some of these players are about. I mean, again, a player like Bueno, Adada, Brandon Craig, you know, even Bat Real, who we haven't, no one's really spoke about this year. This is probably going to be a big year for him as well.
Huge year, yeah.
I mean, again, we're all sitting here now. It's like, oh, it's going to be Kai Wagner's the starting left back. Yeah, but I mean, for how much longer? I mean, we're going to be playing more games this year. We're going to be seeing more of what Matt Real's about. He's going to be playing a lot more games, potentially in the MLS. And not just in the MLS, but I mean, in the Open Cup, potentially in the CCL against the El Salvadoran team, depending on how seriously Jim takes them. In this league's cup, John, this is going to be a big year for these sort of players, and if they can help sort of carry some of the load and help the team go far in one of these competitions, and it could hopefully heat up places. I mean, you know, heat up the pressure for places. I know Jim's spoken about it a lot. You know, there's a lot of competition for places in this team, but there really hasn't been. I mean, again, if there were competition for places, players would be dropped. Some players would be dropped, and they never have really been. So I think, again, that's this right. Could be the year for the competition places to actually be it. You know, they're actually to be competition as opposed to Jim just sort of saying words.
Well, I just realized we haven't had a show since the press conference. So we recorded last Monday. The press conference was on Thursday, whatever. So I covered that. Jim has mentioned the League's Cup, and he says we're going to go for it. And I think in terms of you guys are saying the removal of international friendlies and the growth of the MLS. I think one of the things that Jim has mentioned and that we've seen through the CCL is the fact that the MLS is still kind of like the baby brother to Liga MX, right? They just really haven't been able to beat them on a regular basis. We saw Sounders finally get the CCL title, but if the MLS does want to become more of a credible league, they do have to compete more readily and more heavily with Liga MX, which is their closest rival. This is a great competition for that to happen. I do you guys know how often it's going to be? It's not going to be every year, I know that, but I mean, do you know how many times this is going to happen, League's Cup?
I'm not sure, but Mike, I can't help but to chuckle, right? What do we expect Jim to say? No, we're not going to go for it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. What is he going to say in front of that microphone, especially when they're trying to hype up the group unveiling, that they're going to play the matches, all of these ridiculous rules with it being groups of, what is it, three? Groups of three or groups of four? Groups of three. Yeah. Yeah. All these, obviously, you don't want to get into weird tie-breaking situations with a group of three, but like, what's Jim going to say? Like, I'm sure in his head, in his head, he's probably like, ah, shit, another game, another set of games that we got to worry about in an already heavy schedule. You know, I'm just being very real here, right?
Yeah,
like,
no.
What do we expect this man to say that's not going to get him fined?
No, that's fair, but I do think that he's at least putting more weight in the League's Cup than Open Cup. And I think majority of people will say CCL and MLS are tied for 1-2 in terms of weight, right? I mean, I know one of the guys I was talking to on Twitter says they'd rather win the CCL than the MLS, which, in terms of international stance, I can see that. In terms of the star on your chest, I see the other way. And personally, I have more weight with MLS Cup than I do CCL.
Yeah.
But I think it at least puts it in the fans' minds that League's Cup is number three in that pecking order. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, Well, let's put it this way, you know, gut check. Do we care more that Seattle won the Champions League or that LAFC won the MLS Cup?
Oh, of course, LAFC.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's a fair point. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Just a gut check. Like, yeah, Seattle as a better team than LAFC in regards to what they won? Just off the gut, I think no. But then again, that's also very American centric viewpoint, because those are, you know, that's the American tournament that we're worried about. Yeah. I don't think the CCL's anywhere near the Champions League like it is in Europe, right? Where teams throw in the towel halfway through the season. Actually, probably, I don't know, Dave, in the Prem, after three games, you don't win. Some of these teams just throw in the towel and they worry about, you know, whatever cup competition they have, right? I don't think that that's what the Union are going to do, but it's just interesting.
I think the interesting point is, I guess, I mean, again, I feel like the MLS Cup, having come so close last season, really...
Eric's been having some good ones this year on this night on the comment section. I saw your comment earlier about the Chicago World Cup, by the way, Eric. It was very, very well timed there. Go ahead, Dave.
Again, I feel like I think the MLS Cup should be the priority. I think having come so close last year would be sort of the icing on the cake, you know, to have gone through all that heartbreak, really. I mean, from losing in the final minutes of that NYCFC game, the COVID game, I've been battled with a 40-year-old Dorlan Collin playing his first game in about 2.5 years. And then last season, losing on penalties, leading the game, heading into stoppage time against 10 men. I mean, it would be great. And I'm not sure what's going on with the Club World Cup in 2024, but I mean, could you imagine the hype if the Union would win the CCL, you know, coming into the mound?
Yeah.
I mean, again, if the Club World Cup is in the format that it's in right now, next year, I'm not really too sure what's going on with it next year, because I know it goes to 32 teams in 2025. Because you imagine the hype of the Union being like one game away from playing the Champions League, the European Champions League winners, you know, playing like a Barcelona or not really Barcelona, because they've been knocked out, but like a, you know, Real Madrid, PSG,
City,
you know, a Man City, something like that.
And that's where I see the argument of the CCL's weight. I mean, it's if you're talking about present day, current American perception, yes, MLS Cup, hands down. But as you said, Jose, but if you talk about what you want your team to be globally, you want the Union to be a global name, the same way City is and Barcelona and all these other teams are. That's the goal for soccer. So the CCL does allow them to have that opportunity. Right. So I see both ways, but my heart goes MLS. Yeah.
I mean, I know we're all sitting here right now and being like, oh, yeah, we're talking about the LAFC sort of Seattle thing, but I mean, how jealous would everyone be in terms of being in the, I mean,
yes, Eric, we kind of erased the memory of the last 6 minutes of that game.
I feel like, again, I mean, it could come to the 8th of February, we'll sat here, I mean, again, we'll talk about it, but imagine how jealous everyone would be when, you know, the Seattle Sounders, if they were to beat Al Ahly or Auckland City, are lining up against the strongest 11 that Real Madrid have got in the FIFA Club World Cup, and, you know, battling them. I think, again, that will get eyes on the MLS, and Seattle Sounders can put out a good fight. I mean, they probably all get murdered, but I mean, if they were to put out a good fight.
And Baiso against Riyad Mahrez. Right. Imagine the scenes, right? Oh my gosh, that would be something.
Baiso has World Cup experience in the locker rooms, the facilities. So, I mean, listen, I mean, we're about almost at an hour of the show now. We've kind of touched on everything we want to talk about. It's a lot to talk about. I think if you're looking on Twitter these next 24 to 70, you know, 2 hours, whatever it might be, you're going to see a lot of people tinkering with lineups, you know, thinking, who's going to play in the Open Cup? Who's going to play in this? I mean, so it's really exciting time. It makes these next few weeks of preseason seem even longer than they already are going to feel. And I think now the home opener is just very much in our vision. We want to start the season off on a good note. We want to just get right to it, because at this point, Jose, I mean, I can't wait for that game.
My group grew to 29 total people. So my group is growing for this home opener. I'm really excited to see what this tailgate looks like.
Listen, I'm going to be there. So,
Number 30. Yeah, there you are.
I will be there. I will promise I will be there. And we'll see what happens. But again, Jose, I'll end it with you. I think one last thing you wanted to mention here.
Yeah, just some odds and ends just to keep everybody updated. Not necessarily a rivalry watch or anything like that, but just some names and things that are happening for teams around the league. Orlando SC finalized an Icelandic international player probably to replace Perea, so keep an eye out on that. Nice. And Peruan player Alex Callens left NYCFC to be a free agent to then sign with Girona FC, another team within the MCFC family. So not sure what happened there, but just another thing to keep an eye on as NYCFC continues to shake things up, obviously, with Matt Freeze, and I'm sure a lot of other stuff going on. And obviously, if it's true, Toronto FC gaining Sean Johnson. So another team and another name to keep an eye out as we go into the season as rosters are shaking and moving. And I'm sure, I don't know, with a month and 2 days left, I'm guessing that some of these teams are probably going to want to stop moving and just want to start focusing on bonding these players and getting acclimated. So just something to keep an eye on. And I think we can end the show that way throughout the preseason here as we approach the final runway. My God, it's so close, but it's so exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave, have you any last thoughts before we close up the show?
I mean, it's going to be interesting again tomorrow. Not only would it be interesting to see how the Union line up, but I think it'd be interesting to see as well. I mean, St. Louis, I mean...
Yeah, that's true.
The first time that we'll be playing St. Louis, I mean, it looks, I mean, again, obviously, the horrific situation last week meant that their game against Charlotte was cancelled, but really, this is the first time we're going to be seeing St. Louis.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, like, this is the first time we're ever going to be seeing anything of St. Louis, because, I mean, of course, I mean, I think they've been playing, like, friendlies with the USSL and USL and stuff like that over the last couple of years. But I mean, now they've officially drafted their roster. They've now got a team of players prepared to, you know, go into the season. It's going to be really interesting to see how they line up as well. And, you know, just to see what, I mean, again, it's only preseason. You know, it's only just preseason, but it's going to be interesting to see sort of the quality of players that they've actually got. I mean, again, it's exciting to see. I mean, looking forward to tomorrow. And again, there's a game at a really weird time on Friday, like what, like 11 a.m. Eastern against Minnesota as well. Which I'm sure everyone will be sat around waiting to see what happens.
Yeah, some weird preseason times. But like I said, that will wrap up our show today. I know we had the big discussion on Matt Freeze leaving, as well as Torres joining the roster. We'll I guess share the live blog, whatever we can find from the Union website tomorrow, to see exactly what they put out there for coverage for this preseason game. Until then, I'm sure Jim Curtin will have some form of press conference by Friday, if not Thursday, in regards to the game. So I know Dave and I will cover it. Jose will share some things out. If you guys haven't been following me on TikTok, I'm posting some daily videos to kind of discuss the Union stuff. And just kind of, as I mentioned on the first episode, just bringing more coverage, getting you guys every single day as much as we possibly can. Three amigos over here running the show for the Union. Oh, you know what? Actually, before I sign off, let's just end it with here. If you didn't see online, about 2 or 3 days ago, SB Nation has been making some cuts. And unfortunately, one of those cuts will be for the Brotherly game. For anybody who's been following the Union for as long as Jose and I have, and before, Brotherly Game has covered the Union and soccer as a whole extraordinarily well. Matt, Ralph, and everybody there have been incredible. I know Greg, I've met him as well in the box. So it's uncertain right now. I know Brotherly Game has mentioned that they want to finish out their contract at the end of the month. But besides that, you know, Brotherly Game is kind of set the standard for people like us.
Yeah.
Who cover the Union, and even people like, you know, they're on the level of Tana Walls out there. They are excellent at what they do, and I hope that Matt, Ralph, and company are okay and they get through it. But again, just before we end the show, you know, just say hey, thanks for them for their amazing coverage of the past, you know, 12-13 years, and we'll see what happens next. Hopefully they get back on their feet soon. But besides that, guys, appreciate you chiming in. Thank you for all the comments, Eric. It's good to have you back in the comment section. I appreciate the commentary, and everybody else to join, please continue to comment as the season goes on, and we'll be back next Monday night, 8:45 or so, and go Union.
Go Birds! Go Birds, guys! Go Birds Sunday! Don't forget about Sunday!
Yeah,
go Birds!
Go Birds!
Have a good night, guys.